to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I'm going to do a bit of an experiment with something I've thought about doing in some form, perhaps as, you know, some or CFRU radio show, or perhaps as like a separate weekly podcast in addition to everything else I do. I'm a glutton for punishment. But I wanted to give it a whirl and see kind of what it sounded like to put together kind of a news package, if you will. This is kind of off the cuff. It's, maybe you can tell that. I'm not reading from a script at all. But I was interested in putting together a news package, as I was saying, where, you know, you collect audio while you're out doing reporting things, while you're out at meetings, while you're out at press events. You don't necessarily use it all when you're writing an article. And for, you know, announcements and things, I do record the video, but you may not necessarily want to sit down and watch a whole video either. But you do want to kind of give people more flavor from what goes on behind the scenes of the news, as opposed to just, here are the five W's. Who, what, when, where, why, and of course how. The elusive sixth W that ends in W. Anyway, this is the result of that experiment. I'm not sure how it's going to go. I'm not sure if you'll like it. Maybe you'll like it. Maybe you want me to do some more. I don't know. But for this week, I'm going to share some raw audio from two big events. Last Thursday was a very busy news day. In the morning, the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, Paul Calandra, came to Guelph. He came to Guelph City Hall, and he announced that Guelph was receiving $4.68 million from the Building Faster Fund, which is unfortunately phrased as a reward for Guelph reaching 98% of its housing target last year. It's good work for Guelph, but unfortunately kind of reinforces this idea that we're doing this for the province and we're doing this for rewards from the province. And I had some questions for Mr. Calandra, because while the entire affair was kind of cordial and kind of celebratory, there were certain words from the premier last fall about Guelph's concerns around the housing file, let's say. And then on top of that, when Guelph did approve its housing pledge this time last year, actually almost a year to the day as you're listening to this, come to think of it, Guelph had some notes of its own. It essentially wanted, council that is, wanted the province to take a housing pledge of their own. So I asked Paul Calandra about that as well. So you're going to hear some of this back and forth from the media scrum following the announcement. Again, the announcement's very, very simple with a lot of platitudes, $4.68 million. And Mayor Cam Guthrie got up and gratefully accepted that money. The next piece of audio is going to be from a press conference that happened on Edinburgh Road South a little bit later that same day, on Thursday. The Guelph Fire Chief, Brian Arnold, he's kind of new to the job. He only got the job last fall after our previous fire chief retired last year. And the Ontario Fire Marshal, John Pegg, were both at the site of this fire where two people passed away a week from this past Monday. The cause of the fire, as of this recording, as of that press conference, was not yet known. It's still under investigation by the fire marshal's office. The on-site portion of the investigation had wrapped up. It's now being finished at their Toronto office. But the salient point was that that property had no working smoke detectors, which is directly tied to the two fatalities. Now, it was a weird week in Guelph last week. There were four house fires in the span of about 3 days, which is a lot, even for bigger cities than us. The thing that they wanted to point out, Peg and Arnold, was that the one house that had the fatalities was due to a lack of working smoke detectors. Now, it was just daylight savings a couple of weeks ago, and you're supposed to change the battery on your smoke detector at daylight savings to make sure that everything works all right and test them. And of course, smoke detectors themselves have expiration dates. Smoke detectors stop working as effectively when they get to a certain age. As you'll hear in this presser, they did kind of a safety blitz through this townhouse complex where the fire took place, found out that there were not a lot of working smoke detectors, so that's kind of a red flag. So, the point of the presser was about public safety, and that's what I guess I came out of it with. I think that's what the public came out of it with. The other people in the presser, everybody was there. C-Troy, Guelph Today, even City News Kitchener was there. So I'm going to play some of the audio from that as well. And then to wrap up, I'm going to play a portion of an interview that you will hear the rest of tomorrow, if you're listening to this Wednesday. You'll hear it on Thursday on Open Sources Guelph. It is with Jeff Horcastle from the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center. You may not be aware that March is Fraud Prevention Month, and there's a lot of fraud, and if you get the police media release like me, it feels like not a week goes by, and I get into this with Jeff in the full interview, that it feels like every week there is some instance of somebody being defrauded of, like, not even just, like, the distraction thefts where somebody takes your wallet and steals your credit cards, which, you know, has a negative impact on your life and your stress levels and all that, but at the end of the day, you're not losing thousands and thousands of dollars and will never get it back, as some of these people do when they convert their money into cryptocurrency, or they do wire transfers, or they buy Apple or vanilla Visa and MasterCard gift cards. Their money just is gone, and there's no way to recover it. So fraud is a real thing. It is a dangerous thing. And people need to be aware about what the risks are when somebody reaches out to you, how to double check that someone reaching out to you is legit, how to do your homework. And so a lot of this stuff is going to be covered with Jeff. So I'm just going to play kind of a sneak preview of that interview. Here today on the Politicast, you'll be able to hear the whole thing on Open Sources on Thursday evening. So that's the order of things. Calandra Presser, Guelph Fire Department Presser, Canadian Anti-Fraud Center interview sneak preview. So here we go.
Okay. Introduce yourselves, your outlet, question follow-up. We'll start with you.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Adam from Guelph Politico. I would like to, I mean, first of all, I'm sure everyone here appreciates the very nice things you said about the city, but I'd like to read to you something the premier said last October. He said, and I quote, "I like your mayor. He can't get up there and make a decision, so he always wants to put it onto the province, and he's a good guy, actually. I like him, but your council in Guelph are a bunch of left-wing lunatics. It's as simple as that." Was the premier wrong in his assessment of Guelph's ability to reach targets?
Yeah, look, say this. I work very closely with the mayor. We're here today to celebrate $4.6 million in funding that is going to the city of Guelph because they're able to get shovels in the ground. I think I was very clear in my comments, though, that it is my expectation that communities, including Guelph, continue to get shovels in the ground, and that I will remove obstacles in the way of getting those shovels in the ground, and that includes with councillors who don't want to get it done. There are, in my own community of Stouffville, there are councillors who don't want to get shovels in the ground, so I'm not going to be strayed on that mission that we have of building 1.5 million homes across the province of Ontario. This is an indication of that, working closely with the mayor and those councillors who want to work in that exact same direction. We will do amazing things for not only Guelph, but the entire province.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask a different question for my follow-up then. When Guelph approved the housing pledge last February, I went back and looked up because there were a number of conditions that they wanted to get a pledge from the province for. I won't read the complete list, but among them were commitment for brownfield remediation, exemptions for appeals for secondary plans, exclusionary zoning, zoning bylaw, support to build schools, daycares, that kind of provincial infrastructure, housing for post-secondary institutions. You were here today because Guelph held up its end. Guelph invited the province to make a pledge of its own. Is there any progress on any of these items?
Yeah, look, this funding here is for infrastructure that helps build more homes. The province is making absolutely historic investments in post-secondary education. I think we announced over $1.3 billion worth of support for post-secondary education, which followed on a unilateral decision of the federal government, which had a devastating impact on post-secondary education, not only in Ontario, but across the country. We have been very clear with respect to infrastructure, whether it's Highway 7 and a whole host of other infrastructure programs across not only Guelph, but in the area, that we are here to support not only this community, but the entire community. It is about getting shovels in the ground. We have the largest infrastructure program in the history of this country, whether it's on long-term care homes, whether it is on economic development. We have over $30 billion worth of investments coming to the province of Ontario. And I recognize that there is more that needs to be done in order to help communities like Guelph get more shovels in the ground. That is what we're focused on, more shovels, more homes, because you know what? And I'm sorry I get somewhat frustrated on this, because I know what the next step is, right? The next step is obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. We're in a position now where we have to remove obstacles to get shovels in the ground. I've been very clear on that. Because what happens next? We're inviting millions of people to come to this province, millions of people to fill jobs that are available right now in the province of Ontario, millions of people to help build and make our province and our country even better. And if we don't accomplish this goal of getting these homes built, the next step is to blame the people that we are inviting here to help our economy grow and to help our economy prosper. And as Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, I won't let that happen. So when there are conditions in place, it is to build a better, stronger community. And Guelph has shown that not only can they build more homes, they can actually do it while protecting the things that are important to them. And as long as we can do that, they'll have a great partner in the province of Ontario and me as Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Richard Vivian with Guelph Today. First of all, I guess I should follow up on Adam's question. You didn't actually answer. Is the province going to do the things that the city of Guelph, the council requested, nay demanded, in order to help it meet its housing pledge?
I think the city of Guelph can determine what is important to them in order to protect the vibrancy of its community. Every community is very different, so I'm not going to, as Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, sit and tell Guelph what its priorities should be in preserving and protecting its community. I have a program in place that is focused on building infrastructure. Now, that program has come in place by working with mayors, not only your mayor, but through the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, and it is focused on shovels in the ground, infrastructure on the ground. The other aspects of building communities, like building schools, look, I can sit here and tell you that we have the largest investment in school, in building schools in the province's history. Not only building new schools, but actually renovating some of the old schools. We have put a halt towards closing rural schools. Part of the Building Faster Fund is building more long-term care homes in communities that have never had them before. So if it is an obstacle, it is not on the table. If it is something that helps get homes built, then I'm there with you. Our goal is to build housing, not put obstacles in the way of building housing, but also understanding that communities have special parts of their community. They have unique requirements that they need to protect. We're there for them to do that.
I will have to skip asking you to clarify on that because I only have one additional question. And you referenced the need for affordability. And there has been nothing so far in legislation that has required developers, builders, to pass on any of these savings to the end home buyers. Is that something that's coming down the pipe?
Yeah, part of our challenge right now is that we aren't building enough homes, frankly. That has been the problem. And we have seen this all over the province of Ontario, especially in southern Ontario. The ability to get shovels in the ground has been greatly hampered by high interest rates, high inflationary policies, which have led to high to high interest rates. That is making it more difficult for developers to get shovels in the ground. It is making it more difficult, more importantly, for people to actually buy their first home. The other part of this, though, has been the extraordinary success that we've seen in on rental housing starts across the province. We are at the highest level in the history of the province on purpose-built rental. That is affordable homes across the different parts of the province. We have never been at a higher level than we are today. So when you say, are there benefits of what we're doing? Absolutely. Thousands of rental units that would not have been online are online today. Units like this, which are getting shovels in the ground, long-term care homes, which are getting built. So there is a lot that is happening, but our province is growing so fast. We have the billions of dollars in investments that is coming to the province of Ontario. We welcomed 800,000 people to this province over the last year and a half, and that's a reflection of the fact that people want to get here. So we are trying to catch up as quickly as we possibly can, but it takes everything. It's not just single detached homes. It is rental homes. It is affordable homes. It is attainable homes. It is a whole way of doing things. It's building homes across the full spectrum, and that's what this funding is meant to do, and more that is that will be coming in the budget that Minister Bethencourt will be bringing forward next week, if I'm not mistaken. The 26th, I think it is.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for attending today's press conference. My name is John Pegg. I'm the Ontario Fire Marshal. And with me today is Chief Brian Arnold and members of the Guelph Fire Department. Just in terms of an agenda, I'm going to give a quick update on our fire investigation to date. And Chief Arnold will then talk about the response that took place the night of the fire and kind of a follow-up to some of the investigation that has been going on in this area. So to begin, I want to offer my sincere condolences to the family and those affected by the tragedy behind me. I know that we lost two lives in that fire that night. So my sincere condolences to the entire community and to the family. I also want to spend a minute and thank the responders, the firefighters who came to this tragic event. Their heroic actions obviously saved the lives of two others. And definitely protected the rest of the residences around here. Thank you to our partner agencies, police, EMS, for your response as well. So as you can see, the fire investigation has wrapped up, the on-scene investigation has wrapped up behind me. The investigation is far from over. Our investigators do on-scene investigations. They collect samples, they look at things like burn patterns. They then go away and do forensic modeling and testing, and that investigation will take some time. When we do an investigation, we look for really three things, three main areas. Fire cause, fire origin, and circumstance. Obviously, fire cause is what started the fire. Fire origin would be where the fire began. And then circumstance are those things that either positively or negatively affected the response and the outcome. What I can update today is around circumstance and around smoke alarms. I can confirm that our investigation has shown that there were no working smoke alarms in this residence that ultimately claimed the lives of two individuals. Tragically, this is a trend that we are seeing across the province far too often. Everyone's likely aware that in 2022, across Ontario, we saw 133 fatalities, which was our largest number on record. And that trend just continues to rise. Through the first few months of 2024, we're on a very similar trend and something that we really need to take seriously. My plea to everyone here today is please check your smoke alarms. Take the 5 minutes that it takes to check your entire house. Make sure that you have working smoke alarms. There are two things that will save your life and your family's lives in the event of a tragic fire. Smoke alarms going off, giving you early notification to alert you to get out of the house. And the second part is a home escape plan. That plan should be practiced regularly and practiced before a fire happens, so that in the event of a fire, everyone in your household knows how to escape and the plan on where you'll meet outside. If you have any questions about any of either of those things, smoke alarms or home escape plans, I ask you to contact your local fire service all fire departments across Ontario would be more than happy to come out and assist you in creating that plan and checking your smoke alarms. If you're unable to check your own smoke alarms, you can ask a neighbor, you can ask a friend, or again, call your local fire service. Please, 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 let this be the last day that your home is unprotected from fire. Please take action immediately. Don't go one more night without having working smoke alarms. We want every Ontarian to be safe. I wish I could stand here and say, you know, we'll never have a fire again in Ontario. I know that isn't the case, but I think we can stand here and say we should never have another fatal fire in Ontario. It takes action from every single one of us, every resident across Ontario, to check their smoke alarms. If you're a landlord, make sure your tenants are protected. Every single one of us should have working smoke alarms and have home escape plans to get out safely. Thank you. I'll be back for questions at the end, but I'm going to turn over to Chief Arnold now.
Thank you, Fire Marshal Pegg, for making the trip from Toronto today just for this purpose. Your support and commitment to public safety is greatly appreciated. On behalf of Guelph Fire Department, I extend our deepest condolences to the family and friends of the victims of this tragedy. My name is Brian Arnold. I am the Fire Chief of Guelph Fire Department. Thank you for all of you for coming today. As Fire Marshal Pegg stated, the on-scene phase of the investigation led by the Fire Marshal's office has wrapped up. And while there are aspects of the investigation which I cannot discuss, I can inform the public, as Fire Marshal Pegg has, that there were no working smoke alarms present at this residence. It is clear that here in Guelph and across the province that our collective fire and life safety public education is not sinking in. All too often we are finding homes without working smoke alarms. They are either not installed, expired, have had their batteries removed, or the alarms are removed altogether. The community risk assessment for the City of Guelph has identified residential occupancies as the greatest fire safety risk in the city. This too is consistent across Ontario. The greatest risk is residential fires. On the other hand, the disconnect is that we don't have working smoke alarms to address the risk. It does not make sense to me. Guelph Fire has canvassed the remaining townhouses in this complex and found that many units still did not have working smoke alarms. We have provided and even installed many alarms for those units just to ensure that they are protected. Guelph Fire will also be returning to our Home Safe Home smoke alarm program this spring. We will be going door to door in neighborhoods where the data shows the highest need. We'll be having conversations, answering your questions about fire safety, and asking you to show us and test your smoke alarms. Please invite us in. I am pleading with our citizens to wake up. I am asking adults to wake up. We teach our children in schools and community organizations about fire safety and smoke alarms. But our children do not drive to the hardware store. Our children do not make that smoke alarm or CO alarm purchase. And our children are not installing and testing these alarms. Our children are vulnerable and they rely on adults. I'm asking the adults to wake up. In a time when many have chosen and have to choose between housing and feeding their families, it is easy to forget about or choose not to buy an alarm and install it. Call the fire department. We will help you. We want you to be safe. Call your landlord. They must help you. It is the law. I am asking the adults to wake up and take responsibility. Whether you are a parent with kids at home or a senior having your grandchildren come over for a visit, you need to look after those that you love. There is nothing more important than your safety and their safety. We lock our doors at night to protect our property and ourselves while we sleep. take action now to protect your loved ones with smoke alarms to alert them in the night and give them the most possible time to escape safely from a fire. Help them to wake up. Fire fatalities are challenging for neighbors and for the community at large. They're also a challenge to our personnel, from our dispatchers to our suppression firefighters to our fire investigators. Our Guelph Fire team has performed admirably under very stressful and difficult conditions. They are exposed to traumatic events, which could be carried with them throughout the rest of their lives. They would rather not be exposed to such trauma. While we choose to serve, we are human beings, and we cannot avoid the moral injury. Our critical incident stress team has provided support to our personnel, and additional resources are available. It has been a very busy and difficult week for Guelph Fire, for my staff, and I thank them for their efforts. I thank the media for attending today to help us get this important message out to the public. Your role in fire and life safety is crucial to all our well-being. Thank you very much. We can take questions.
True or false, if you're having like a business deal or you're talking to somebody about a business deal and they talk about getting paid in crypto or gift cards, immediate red flag, right? That seems to, from my reading of some of these frauds, it's like if someone's asking you for a gift card instead of, you know, a wire transfer or cash, that's a red flag.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and we're seeing that in various types of fraud, you know, whether it's a business deal, job scam, where you're asked to, you know, accept checks, retransfers, and transfer the funds by gift card or cryptocurrency. Remember that if you're accepting funds and transferring them elsewhere, you could be contributing to money laundering. You could be a money mule. So to answer your question, yeah, the fraudsters are using cryptocurrency because it's because of the difficulty that law enforcement has in tracing, right? So,
right.
But 100%, yeah, never. And you know, the government will never accept crypto or gift cards either.
Right. That's probably especially key. And this is a question that occurred to me as we were talking, but you know, so much of banking is, I mean, it used to be you'd have to go to the bank to do anything. Like you have to go in person and there were bankers hours, like 9 to 5. And of course, now, you know, banking, you know, so many of us bank on our phone. I bank on my phone. I guess how much of this would not be an issue if we still had that kind of like human touch, if we still had to like go to the bank and the teller knew our name and they sort of knew our spending habits and knew that like every Friday we come in and deposit our paycheck and then we take out $100 to go buy groceries or something. I mean, I realize we can't go back in time, but I mean, how much of this is just sort of like a missed human connection because so much of our lives is automated now?
Yeah. And that's another great question. We saw the pandemic contribute to this in this way as well, where a lot of Canadians changed their ways where, you know, they may have been going into the bank directly. They changed their ways because of, you know, they may have been confined right for a while and they had to do online banking and they just got into that habit. They maybe got into the habit of doing more online shopping, communicating yeah. With family members more, right? And they kept those habits. So in general, the cyber environment has contributed a lot to fraud. We, you know, 75% of overall dollar loss was from cyber enabled fraud.
Mm.
So, even when we're looking at it, identity theft and identity fraud, you know, we've seen an increase in that as well over the last few years. And, you know, generally our information is just more accessible, whether it's through data breach, a phishing campaign. So to answer your question, yeah, the cyber environment has contributed to fraud immensely.
The other example I wanted to address, and it actually involves me. I wasn't scammed. I just want to make that clear. But it involves like a scam that does happen, or these phishing scams where you get a message, you get a text, or you get an email that says, we are Canadian Customs. We have a package, and we need you know, such and such amount of money in order for it to clear customs. I actually had that experience, except I actually had something coming through customs. It was Blu-rays from a boutique Blu-ray company. Expose you a little to what my life looks like. But I did get those text messages, and I got the phone call from DHL saying, like, hey, we've got your package, but you need to pay X amount in customs. And I was able to verify that it was the package through the confirmation number from the company that I got. But this is kind of like the world I think a lot of us live in, where we're kind of hyper aware that if you get a text, even if you are expecting a package from the United States that might need extra funds to clear customs, you get that message, you automatically think it's a scam. So I guess if I find myself in this situation again, or other people find themselves in a similar situation, like, is there a proper process we go through to make sure that we're truly, well and truly answering customs and not a scammer?
Yeah, that's another great question. And this is another prime example of fraudsters trying to capitalize on vulnerabilities, right? Mm. So they know that the majority of us are ordering online, waiting for a package. So they might be claiming to be Canada Post, like you mentioned, or, you know, another courier company. So if you get an email, always avoid, or a text message, like you mentioned, avoid clicking on the links. And if they claim to be Canada Post and you're not sure, go verify your Canada Post tracking number with the merchant you made the purchase from. Verify it that way. And then even go a step further. Look up the official phone number for Canada Post. Give them a call. Give them the tracking number. They'll be able to give you the information you need. And you've avoided clicking on a potential malicious link, right? So even if you're getting an incoming phone call saying, hey, you have to pay this amount to customs, always make sure you're making that outgoing phone call. Look up the official phone number. Phone numbers can be spoofed, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it says Canada Post and the Canada Post phone number is on your call display,
right,
it doesn't mean it's them. So only when you're making that outgoing call is the only way to confirm that you're speaking with the official agency or company.
And once again, that was Jeff Horncastle from the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center. You'll be able to hear the entirety of that interview if you listen to the terrestrial radio Thursday at 5 p.m. on CFRU, or if you want to download the podcast version of Open Sources on Monday, if you feel like you can wait. No harm, no foul. All the coverage of these things you can see on Guelph Politico, and that's at guelphpolitico.ca. And to stay on top of just everything, I keep forgetting to put it into the script for the end of this podcast. But there is a Guelph Politico newsletter that comes to your inbox Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Sometimes on Thursday if there's a council meeting that week. Sometimes on Saturday if I am able to write a Space Invader pop culture newsletter. So as often as five times in a week, you can get a Guelph Politico newsletter. And you can subscribe to that at guelphpolitico.substack.com. So Guelph Politico, like the website, .substack.com. And that's it for this week's show. We hope you liked it. You can download the Guelph Politicast every Wednesday from Apple, Google, TuneIn, and Spotify. And when you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you'll get an episode of Open Sources Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. You could follow Guelph Politico on social media at Guelph Politico on Twitter and at Politico Guelph on Facebook. You can follow me at Adam A. Donaldson on Twitter and Instagram, or send me an email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. If you'd like to help financially support the work of Guelph Politico, you can get all that information at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And finally, for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, and there will be a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you there next week. And until then, see you next time.